I must say, Penny, this is great fun.
Glad you're enjoying yourself.
Until I met you and Bernadette, my trips to the bathroom had been entirely focused on elimination. Now they have a delightful social aspect.
Amy, you must have been in the bathroom with other women before.
Of course I have. But they were strangers and seemed off-put when I engaged in friendly stall-to-stall chit-chat.
Some women don't like to get chummy when their panties are down.
You okay in there, bestie?
I'm fine.
The reason I ask is that many people experience bladder shyness, the inability to pass
urine. Yeah, I said I'm fine. Stop talking to me.
She always this crabby when she urinates?
We're really not that close.
Screw it. I'll go later.
And I'll be right by your side.
Our whole universe was in a hot, dense state that nearly 14 billion years ago expansion started. Wait, the Earth began to cool, the autotrophs began to drool, Neanderthals developed tools, we built a wall.
We built the pyramids, math, science, history, unraveling the mystery that all started with a big bang.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to PMS, the Perpetual Motion Squad, a Big Bang Theory fan podcast. And we are your hosts, Big Bang Theory super fans, married couple Kat
and Paul,
who continues to look at me like I've got three heads because of the way I like to do the intro.
I have not said anything. I'm literally sitting here minding my own business, enjoying
The look he gives me.
It's not the look, everyone. I do not give people looks.
Oh, yes, you do.
Unless it's Paul Chihuahua. Now, we had some answers from one of our questions, which was, and I think this goes back to episode 16, the cohabitation formulation. And I'd actually said, when did you move out of your parents' house? Now, I got a couple of responses. Deanna, she actually responded saying, just before I turned 20 years of age. And Rob said, when I was 18, just months out of high school. Oh, my God.
Me too. I was 17.
So I must be really, I am definitely the late person in the party.
No, you're just a mama's boy.
Oh. Oh, that.
Because you lived with your mother until you were what, 24?
That hurts where I live.
No, because your mom was awesome. She was a great roommate.
That hurts me in places I don't talk about at parties. Now, on one of our last episodes, when we did the listener podcast, the special episode at Christmas time, I put Merry Christmas to all our PMS family, and we had a really awesome response from Kim. I was going to say her last name, but let's just go with Kim. You know who you are, Kim, that you actually sent this email. And she said, belated Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I love your show. I listen to episodes as I clean an office building at night, so thank you for keeping me company.
Aww.
And we absolutely do not mind keeping anyone company that's working through the wee small hours of the night, because
we love keeping you company.
Yeah, because I used to do third shift. I've done third shift longer than I would really want to even do third shift.
Yeah, you've done more third shifts than you want to think about.
Yeah, I did. When I was living here, when I was in Australia, I did 8 years overnight, which was from.
Yeah, and found out they forgot about you.
And they forgot about me. And then I moved to the States and I literally did 4 years of overnights there. So 12 years is enough for me doing the overnight shift. So yes, but thank you very much everyone for sending us emails and messages. That's awesome. And would you believe I've actually been sitting here just reading the synopsis, getting ready for the podcast, and I have completely and utterly spaced out on what question I am to ask this week. I do not know what question.
Well, I'm sure you'll come up with it as we go through.
All right. As we go along, I will try and figure out something. So what did we think of this episode?
It's okay. It's a little mean.
Now, in what part would you say it's mean?
Just what they asked Bernadette to do.
Yeah, I mean,
that's really not cool.
I mean, look, with the way that Bernadette is written right now, you can sit there and say, yes, it's mean now. The kind of person that she turns out to be, this is completely okay with her, as you know, if you actually spoke to her now.
Yeah, later on, yeah.
Later on, she would be okay with this.
Right now, it's not cool.
No. I thought it was a good episode, not a great one. I'm just hoping we're all hoping that Priya is on her way out, which we all know is getting very, very close to the end, which thank God she is, because she's not a strong character. I don't know. I'm glad that she was only written in for a certain amount of episodes of The Big Bang Theory, but I really don't like Priya. I really don't like her.
She's not really a nice person.
No, she's not. She really isn't. We don't. So we're opening up this episode where we've got Amy, Penny, and Bernadette, and they're in a public toilet. And Amy is very, very excited about this because, you know, she doesn't get a chance to speak to anybody when she's in the bathroom.
Because most people don't like it when she starts tries to engage in stall-to-stall chit-chat.
Yeah. But, you know, she's trying to explain to them that, you know, when she's gone to the bathroom previously, you know, the ladies next, you know, in the next stall haven't really been interested in engaging her in conversation. So, and I like it how even Bernadette says, really? You've never gone to the bathroom with other ladies before? And she's like, oh, no, I have, but I've tried to engage in conversation, but they don't seem to be too interested in that. So, you know, it's and I love it how, you know, Bernadette's already finished. Amy finishes, and then of course there's poor old Penny, and she's in the center stall, and goes, Amy's like, how are you doing, bestie? And she's like, shut up, I'm trying to,
and then screw this. It I'll go when I get home.
So basically we also realize that maybe Penny has a little bit of bladder shyness. Not really sure, but you know, so you know, we that was actually, and I like it how even Amy says, you know, wow, this is really enhancing my social experience, where I'm actually not only able to go out with my friends but also continue the conversation in the stalls when we go to the bathroom. Amy lives a very sheltered life.
Amy really needs to get out more.
She really does need to get out more. So then we see the next part of this opening episode. We've got the girls are at a shoe store, and Bernadette announces that she and Howard have been invited by Priya to dinner with her and Leonard. And it's like, oh, okay, well, this is interesting, because you know, you've got Priya and Leonard, you've got Bernadette and Howard. So, and of course, this is where Amy assumes that maybe Priya plans to test Bernadette's loyalty towards the group. And she comes up with a very interesting idea.
Well, meanwhile, Penny is looking at these shoes.
Oh my God, yes.
You're as much as my rent. I can't buy you.
I'd love to say everyone heard that, but they didn't hear a word you just said.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Is your microphone just cut out? But yes, the thing that the cat was saying is that when Penny goes to look at the shoes and puts it down, Penny's shoes apparently talk to her and say, but we love you. You look so great on us. And she's like, well, I know I'd love to take you home, but you know, you're more than my rent. So
cost as much as my rent.
Yes. But of course we find out this doesn't actually stop.
And she's like, well, maybe they'll take my Texaco card.
I know. Poor old Penny doesn't have a huge amount of credit at this moment. But I like it how, as we're going along with this whole conversation, Amy decides that she wants Bernadette to attend the dinner as a double agent. And my first thought was, can't you just let the poor woman just go there and on a social, a social time and just leave her alone?
Because Penny is adamant that she doesn't care that Leonard is dating Priya.
No. Now, as we know,
the other two are insistent that she, especially Amy, is insistent that she must be upset about this.
Yeah. And as we know, we also find out as we're going along that there may be a trip to India coming up for Leonard and Priya. And this is where even Penny says, and Penny was the first person to jump at this and go, what? Hang on, what? We're going to, is there a chance they're going to get married? So, as much as there's Penny saying, I don't care whether he's dating or not, she does care whether he's dating.
She puts up a good front, but she does care.
Yeah, because as we know, and look, I love Penny, you know, and we all love Penny, but as we can see, Penny is the, when I want you, I'll call you little doggy, but other than that, stay away because I'm dating other people.
Actually, I don't think that's her at this point in time.
No, it is, because she's still got Leonard by the short and curlies.
No, she's trying very hard to let go and let him get on with his life.
Yeah.
And she's trying very hard to be supportive of that.
Even though...
Because she knew she wasn't in the place that he was ready for a committed relationship. And that's why she broke up with him.
Yeah. And I remember the conversation happened, which was, I think there was the... when they were doing the truth or dare in Penny's apartment. And, you know, when they were saying, when Penny was saying about what a great guy Leonard is.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, so what happens if you become ready for what he wanted, but he's no longer available? You know, how would you go with that? And even Penny decides to get up and walk out of that situation because
she's not willing to answer that because she's not, at this point in time, she's not stringing him along as her backup plan. She's not. She is really genuinely trying to get out of the way and let him get on with his life. That's why she's not hanging out with the gang anymore over at the apartment, because Priya doesn't want her there.
Yeah, and Priya is the only person that's stopping this.
Yeah.
Now, Leonard has been still friends with Penny when she's had other boyfriends, and she's still come over to eat at the guy's apartment even when she was in another relationship.
Right,
even
but
with she's Zach.
Respecting the fact that Leonard's with Priya, and Priya doesn't want her there, so she's respecting that.
Priya's a bitch.
So it's really not fair of you to say that Penny's still stringing Leonard along because
Maybe she's not stringing him along, but she is very, very quick to be worried about the possibility of Leonard going over to India, meeting the parents, and maybe something else going on.
Which is not necessarily about him. It's about the fact that she still cares for him, and she can't help but be interested in it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I understand that. So as we find out, this is the night that we're going to go over to dinner at Priya's apartment with Leonard and Howard and Bernadette. And before Bernadette goes over, Amy had actually said to Bernadette that she was going to text her, you know, wants her to keep us basically what's going on over there. So text us.
Haven't we seen Sheldon introduce his three-player chess game yet?
Oh, yes. No, that's right. This is before we get to the, that's right, before we go.
Yeah, because I have trivia about the three-person chess game.
Yes, before we leave, before Leonard leaves.
When Leonard's on his way out,
yes,
he sees Sheldon playing chess with himself.
Yes, he's actually developed a three-person chess, which I like it how Leonard goes, I'd love to play it sometime. And he goes, yeah. And he's like, oh, and what? And he goes, well, it's three-person chess,
Leonard.
We need three people.
Which is interesting, though, because Sheldon plays with himself all three parts.
He does. But he comes up with
that
some really,
really dirty.
That did. Nothing like playing with yourself, whatever. A cat looks to the heavens as if to say, please help me.
Please stop talking.
All right, you have trivia for that.
Yes, I do. So did you know that there are, in fact, several three-player chess variants?
No, I didn't.
The type of pieces that Sheldon designed, the Old Woman and the Grand Empress, these types of custom pieces are called fairy pieces by chess aficionados.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's actually a thing.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
And in Sheldon's three-person chess game, he created a new piece also called the serpent, who is able to poison other pieces. However, snakes are not poisonous. They're venomous. Poison can be consumed, inhaled, or absorbed through the skin, but venom must be injected into the bloodstream directly. Sheldon would not only know this, he would make a point of correcting anybody who implied a snake was poisonous as opposed to venomous.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know that because I thought, oh, okay. That's interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was a nice little fun fact.
Okay, because there is a venomous snake that actually spits venom at people.
That would be poison, not venom. Venom has to go through their fangs and directly.
Well, it does.
And directly.
Okay, but so if they were to, so if this reptiles to spit venom, it gets in your eyes, which actually would end up by getting into,
but that would be considered poison, not venom.
Yeah, okay, that's really interesting.
Yeah,
of course he does come up with other ideas like the jetpack and the golf cart, which is really interesting, and the teleporter, which was actually really cool too. Remember though, as we all know, Sheldon and Leonard do play the chess set,
level chess.
The 3D one.
The Star Trek chess set.
Star Trek.
Five levels.
Yeah. Which that must be a very hard game to play.
I don't even want to know.
No, I've never even tried. I can play chess.
I struggle enough with regular chess.
Yeah, I've played regular chess. I do struggle with it, but you know.
Although Japanese Go is very cool. It's like playing 9 games of chess at once.
Really?
Yeah, Japanese Go is cool.
My ex-mother-in-law and her partner used to get into playing backgammon.
Yeah, that's fun too.
Which looks like it could be quite fun. I haven't played it for ages. I wouldn't even know the rules if I tripped over them, but it does look quite fun.
We could get a backgammon set if you want.
Oh my God, we're old enough as it is. Although I've just started to collect toys, everybody. I've got my KISS collection, but I've got some toys that I'm collecting. So if anyone is interested in what I have started collecting, email us perpetualmotionsquad00@gmail.com and I'll let you know.
Yep, he'll send you a picture.
Yeah, so I can send you a picture. But getting back to what's going on. So as we're going, as Leonard is leaving to go to the apartment, we find out that Amy has actually asked Bernadette to be a double agent, as we know, and that means to text her little things that's going on within the dinner.
Well, because she makes the comparison to like the lions on the Serengeti going after the weakest wildebeest.
Yes, this is why they
consider Bernadette the weakest one of the group because of her tiny little body and her high-pitched little voice.
And that means that this episode is called the Wildebeest Implementation.
Yeah.
Which I like very, very much.
They're trying to see what Priya is trying to do. Yeah. So they want Bernadette to feed her misinformation about Penny.
Yeah. Now, Amy is over at Penny's house. And I like it how when we first see them before they're actually getting alerted that the wildebeest is in the... Where did Amy say the wildebeest is in the...
I don't remember.
The wildebeest is somewhere. Penny is sitting, well, not sitting, laying down on the sofa with her legs in the air. And we find out that, as Penny said, the moment that those shoes hit the ground, then that means that I have to keep you and pay for you. So she figures out that, no, she's not going to do that. She's going to put them back in the box. And she puts them in. And I like it how, as she closes it, she hears, no, no, no. Don't put it, take us back. We look so cute on you. And I like it how Penny goes, you know what? The shoes are right, damn it. And I like it how Amy says, oh, you know, Penny, your whimsy knows no bounds. Which is very, very true. But then we find out that there's a text message that comes through from Bernadette that says that she is now at the dinner party, which is something that Amy had said. The wildebeest is in the cage or something.
Hang on, along those lines. I'm getting it.
Oh, you're getting that one. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So give me a second. I'm going to see if I can find the quote.
Yeah. Okay. Because I can't remember the quote. I mean, yeah, I just cannot remember what she says. The wildebeest is in something.
Oh, it's the cheetah attacking a herd of wildebeests.
That's right. Yes.
And your trusting nature coupled with your teeny tiny body, you wouldn't last a minute on the Serengeti. About the shoes. Oh, these are cute. Of course, if I buy them, I'll have to rent my womb out to a gay couple.
Which, as we know,
Bernadette's like, I'm not a very good liar. They kind of whooped that out of you in Catholic school. And Amy says, don't worry, I'll teach you. I did 2 years of Cub Scouts before they found out I was a girl.
Which I can actually definitely appreciate with Bernadette, with Amy.
The what's that?
No, I can appreciate that with Amy, that, you know, she would have gone to Cub Scouts and they wouldn't have found out that she was a boy, a girl, because she...
No, it doesn't say.
Doesn't say? It doesn't really matter. So as we're going along, we get a text message shortly after, and the text message alerts Amy and Penny about a snide comment Priya made about Penny's acting career.
Well, actually, she did not make a snide comment. Amy decided it was a snide comment because she said that Priya said that she's glad that she's following her dreams and that it's going well for her.
Yeah, but it was taken as a snide comment. Yeah. And of course, to counter that, they lie about Penny shooting a movie with Angelina Jolie in Prague, which will be shown in 3D.
Oh, they must really have faith in it. The studio must really have faith in it. They're shooting in 3D.
And, you know, Leonard's really surprised that Penny didn't tell him this fact. Of course, then this is what I really don't like about Priya.
Priya's like, oh, you've been talking to Penny?
And she's like, no. And she goes, so why would you be surprised?
Why would you be surprised that she didn't tell you?
if your ex-girlfriend didn't tell you. And you can see that now Leonard is really trapped between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
And but he's basically lost for words. But, you know, he says he wasn't surprised but befuddled. But really, you can see that now Leonard is really having to watch what he says very, very carefully. Now, that's not a relationship.
That's not healthy.
I have been in one of those relationships.
Yeah, me too.
And they are not a conducive way to have a relationship. They are toxic. They become toxic.
Yeah. So then they text Bernadette to say that Penny is dating an astronaut.
And I like it how they go, astronaut, where does she meet an astronaut? And I like it how Bernadette's like, oh, it's on the set of the new movie. And they're like, yeah, but I thought that was about like 18th century Vienna. And I like it how she goes, what, he couldn't have a hobby? And they're like, oh, no, it's okay. It's okay. So this is really starting to fall apart because...
Yeah, but what's interesting is they meant architect and it was the autocorrect.
The autocorrect did it. Yeah. Because I like it how she's like, where would you have met an astronaut? And then I like it how Amy goes, oh, yes. It was supposed to be architect. Yeah.
But that being said, he could have been a consultant on the movie.
Yep, could have been.
And they met there because, for example, the Big Bang Theory uses an actual physicist to consult with the mathematics used to make sure that they're correct. And Mayim Bialik, who is actually a neuroscientist, is also used as a consultant.
Yeah, so there is a possibility that you might be able to find... You know, as Bernadette says, you know, what, he can't have a hobby, so
yeah,
he might have a hobby.
You also skipped over the fact that Raj left when the party started because he's like, I don't want to sit here and be the only one without a partner.
That's right.
So he leaves and he goes over to hang out with Sheldon, and they get talking about how lonely doesn't have a color.
That's right, yes. Angry is red.
Positively blue with sadness or green with envy. And he says, well, nothing rhymes with orange. So orange must be lonely. But apparently there are three uncommon words that actually rhyme with orange.
Okay.
Sporange is a botany term for the sac where spores are made.
Okay.
Gorange is a rare English surname. And Blorange is a mountain in Wales.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Now, is there a color for loneliness?
I don't believe so.
No,
I don't believe so.
So that's why Sheldon was making the color that he was going to be orange with loneliness.
Yeah.
And that's when he goes, oh, no, I don't see that color catching on whatsoever.
But apparently in Europe and America, gray is the most the color most associated with boredom, loneliness, and emptiness.
Yeah. So now, as we're seeing, and Raj has gone over to Sheldon's apartment, of course, Sheldon's been playing three-person chess by himself and doing very well at the game, I might add. But as Raj knocks on the door, he says that he's received a new drug his friends claim to be the next best thing for people with social anxiety.
Oh, I forgot that was this episode.
And Raj is very worried about the side effects affecting his
brain.
He
doesn't want to lose his edge and his mind, which makes him really great at his job.
And of course Sheldon reassures him that he doesn't believe that he's that smart anyway. It sounds like, yeah, rightio.
There's only Sheldon can.
Sheldon Woody just is very much, no, well, you're not really that
well,
smart.
It's not like you're going to make any great contributions to the field anyway. So
yeah, so, you know, well, it doesn't really matter if you lose a couple hundred thousand brain cells. It's fine. It's all good, you know. So now we switch back to Raj's apartment where the dinner party is taking place. And Howard's very curious about how Penny met an astronaut, and Bernadette tries to answer the question, but soon the lies start to fall apart. Now, we must premise what's going on here. So every time that she's sitting there at the table, they're having dinner, and Bernadette is continually texting Penny and Amy, and she's got the phone, you know, obviously down low so no one can see it. When the conversation gets too intense, Bernadette goes to the bathroom and starts texting away. She comes back sits down, starts having dinner again. the conversation gets too intense again, so she gets up, she does the same thing. This is probably about the third time this is going
to
happen.
And at one point, Priya is like, this is, you know, you've been going to the bathroom a lot tonight. Are you okay?
And she's like, why? Are you reading? You're writing a book?
Yeah.
But before that, as the, because they're now under coffee and you know, sweets, whatever, she's told, and this is where the conversation starts, that Leonard and Priya are thinking about going back to India to meet the family. And this is where Bernadette texts Amy and Penny, and they want to find out more information. So Bernadette's like, I really don't want to keep doing this, but fine. So when Priya goes to get some coffee, she follows her and says, oh, so this trip to India with you and Leonard, is like, things are getting serious. Yeah. Is there marriage on the horizon? And Bernadette and Priya basically says, shuts it down very quickly and goes, oh God, no, we're not there yet. She's like, oh, not there yet. Very interesting. I got to go to the bathroom. And this is where she says,
yeah,
you know, oh, you've been going there a lot. So she heads to the toilet and calls Penny and Amy. And she tells them about the dilemma, about the lies, which are starting to fall apart. Everyone's asking too many questions and they're like, just change the subject. And she's like, I'm trying to change the subject, but it's not going.
They won't let me.
Yeah. And of course, Bernadette does mention once again about Leonard going to India to meet Priya's parents. And she's like, and they want more information. They've texted the answer back, but they're like, no, we need more information, more information. So this whole thing's going on. And we now transition over to Raj and Sheldon. And they go to a coffee shop because Raj wants to see if the drugs are actually working. Now, as we all know, Raj cannot speak to women without being drunk. So he goes over to...
or at least having some alcohol in his system. Yeah.
Now, there's this girl. She is doing nothing. She's on her laptop with a coffee.
Minding her
own business. And Raj approaches the girl and stares at her silently for a moment, which is very, very creepy. And eventually... And
finally, she's like, can I help you?
And he says, you're very pretty. And she's like, oh, thank you. And then he's like, looks at Sheldon like, it's working. And I like it how...
And Sheldon's like, don't mind me. I'm just here to observe.
Yeah. And Raj goes, "What? Here's $5 that you can go get a scone." So he walks over to get... And the conversation is going quite well with this girl and Raj. You know, what do you do? I'm an astrophysicist. Oh, that sounds really cool. And it's a small talk going backwards and forwards. And we find out that her name is Angela. And Angela, Raj goes, is, you know, there's angel in your words or in your name. Mm-hmm. So you're very beautiful. And of course, we see that Sheldon's gone over to get a scone, which they're out of scones.
But we have some lovely muffins.
And he goes, well, that's okay. They sound nice, but this money is earmarked for scones. And of course, in the back, you hear suddenly the girl go, oh my God, what are you doing? And Raj has now got his top off. It is so embarrassing.
It's not embarrassing, it's humiliating.
Raj is already stripping. And as he's taking his top off, and Sheldon comes over and says, and just like looks at, and Raj goes, you know, Sheldon, please, you know, oh, that's right. He comes over and he goes, oh, they don't have any scones. And he goes, Sheldon, please, I'm trying to get to know this lady. And he's taking his top off and he takes his pants off. And this girl's like, oh my God, I got to get out of here.
She picks up her stuff and just runs out of the coffee shop. And Raj turns around, looks at the girl behind the counter going, but she hasn't even seen my penis yet, and drops his shorts.
Yeah. And goes, ta-da. It's like, oh my God. And you can almost hear, even though Sheldon doesn't say it, you can almost hear Sheldon in his mind go, fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say it, but the drug has basically
It's there.
But the drugs removed all of Raj's social inhibitions. Like, to be able to strip in the middle of a whole area, it's like, oh my God. And I like it how one of the last parts of it is that, you know, when he's stripped down, of course, you can't see anything. But Raj looks over at another table as if to say, yeah, you like what you're seeing. So back at Raj's, Bernadette asks Priya about her and Leonard's trip to India. And after, establishing Priya is not getting engaged to Leonard, Bernadette tells Priya that she's going to go to the bathroom again, but her true intentions is to update Penny and Amy.
Of course.
Of course, Priya notes that she's been there a lot, obviously, as we see. So eventually, Bernadette just breaks down and storms off. And she
that's it. I can't do this anymore. I'm a good girl. And storms out, grabs her jacket in her bag and storms out. And they're all like, what the heck?
Now, they had been playing Jenga, but at this stage, Howard is just like, he's absolutely befuddled about what this whole thing is going on. So he basically gets up and goes, oh, well, this was fun, and knocks the Jenga pieces over and goes, there you go, you win, and runs out. And after Bernadette, obviously, as you would. And I like it how Leonard looks at Priya and goes, oh, if you're lost for words, the words you're actually looking for is befuddled, which you really would be. The final scene shows Leonard, Sheldon, and Howard playing a very confusing game of three-person chess.
Now, there is one moment in the dinner where Priya says that she shared a room with Raj growing up. But earlier shows made reference to how wealthy the family was and how many servants they had. And
yes,
if that's the case, they wouldn't have shared a bedroom growing up together. And even if they did share a bedroom with a sibling, it would have been a same-sex sibling.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been boy, girl, boy, girl.
Yeah,
no. And this is not like Sheldon growing up with Missy in the same room.
No.
Because Georgie had to have his own bedroom.
Yeah.
Which that always interests me. Why was it that Sheldon and Missy well, in the same bedroom, why wasn't it Georgie and Sheldon?
Well, in the beginning, it would have been because they were both so small that it didn't matter. And by the time they hit puberty and it got to the point where they really did need their own bedroom, Georgie got the garage and Sheldon and
that's right. Missy moved out. That's right. They got their separate bedroom. Missy moved
into Georgie's old room.
That's right. Yeah. So I like it where they're trying to work out the game of three-person chess. And we see Raj, who's standing in the kitchen completely naked, still under the effects of the drugs, going, oh, it's my turn next. The episode goes black, and that is the end of this episode. As I said, it's a good episode, not a great one.
I honestly wouldn't even call it good. It was
really
okay. Yeah. I mean, it progressed the characters, but I didn't really care for it.
Really? I mean, there were definitely some fun aspects of this episode. But you know, it didn't drag on, put it that way. It was still a fun episode to go through, watching Raj go through his social anxiety with his medication.
But, yeah, I just see that to me just was embarrassing.
But I do feel that with the social interaction, I did think they took it a little bit too far when he started to strip down. They could have done something a lot tamer than getting him to strip down naked in the middle of the coffee shop. Not that you see anything, but you know, you got to think. No,
it was just too much.
And in all honesty, if you've got an experimental drug, do you think that maybe the people that make the drug might give you a heads up of, you know, your side effects, maybe A, B, C, and D?
He did say that it got rid of inhibitions, but they didn't know to what degree.
Yeah, I would have probably done it under supervision, like in a lab.
But because he's part of the university, they probably thought, you know, whatever.
I mean, what they could have really done is got him to take the pill, got him to sit in the lab and make a social setting like a cafe. Like, you know, bring a table, bring a couple of coffees, bring some ladies in to sit in front of him and to try and do that to see how his social experiments would be under a controlled environment rather than just let him out into the general population. Because there is another one. When he takes another drug, was it with Missy, wasn't it? When his hands were just moving.
Yeah,
and it was his hands were moving involuntarily. So, yeah, I don't know what question I've got for this week. I was trying to wreck my brain.
Well, you think for a minute while I talk for a minute.
Okay.
So we'll, if you're following along, we had one cook at home and one snack. And the vanity card for this week is, have you ever had to travel to meet your,
no,
you got one?
I think I might have one.
All right. So the vanity card for this week, I've been studying up on the psychological phenomenon known as projection. Sigmund Freud explained it as the mental mechanism by which a person attributes to others the very quality he or she despises and cannot confront in themselves. I've also been learning about passive-aggressive behavior. This is language and actions that are abusive, but clearly cleverly hidden behind a thin veil of civility. For example, the first two sentences of this vanity card.
You know, Chuck Lorre has really got a very interesting mind, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
He really does. Now, I guess the only thing that I can come up with for this week's question is, you know, when you go to a cafe, what kind of coffee do you order?
That's a good question.
Yeah. So this week's question is this week's question is, what kind of coffee do you order at a cafe?
I had a really lovely vanilla latte when I went out to meet up with some girlfriends earlier today.
Oh, it was okay?
Yeah, it was lovely.
They actually didn't burn the milk this
time? No, they actually didn't. Either that or the vanilla hid that.
Well, they cleaned the filter before you got a drink.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Yes, because I'm a barista. I've actually able to make a whole lot of coffees. We always
Paul makes beautiful coffees in the morning.
We always have a nice latte before we start our day. So, yeah, and I know there are some people that are listening in the UK that are huge tea drinkers. So this also, you know, is with you guys as well. What sort of coffee, when you go out, if you decide not to have tea, what sort of coffee do you guys order at a cafe?
Or what kind of tea do you order?
Well, this is coffee.
You can drink tea, not coffee.
No, this is a coffee question. What kind of coffee do you order at a cafe? So that is perpetualmotionsquad00@gmail.com for your answers, or you can answer us directly on Spotify. And I really want to thank each and every one of you for taking the time to email us, to respond to questions we've put up every week. We really do appreciate you guys coming and doing
that. Yeah, we love that you interact with us. We love that we get to keep you company when you're working or commuting.
Yeah, definitely commuting. And we also love the fact that we are keeping people entertained while they're cleaning office buildings. So we love that. Sitting on trains or working in a factory. We've got a whole huge amount of people that actually love to listen to us every week.
We love you guys. Yeah. So thank you so much for tuning in. If you haven't done already, please leave us a like and a review wherever you listen to podcasts. And pardon me.
Goodness me.
I know. For all of a sudden, I mean, voice is going.
She sounds very sexy.
Getting very froggy.
Yes.
But we appreciate it. If you know someone else who would like to join.
She's actually running out of steam, everyone. Let's see if she can get it to the end.
To join
the
conversation, please invite them because we'd love to have them join us. And before he can make any more fun of me, thank you for joining us. And we'll see you next time for season 4, episode 23, The Engagement Reaction. And in the meantime, we'll catch up with you at the Cheesecake Factory.
She did it.
Say goodbye, honey.
No, I just said she did it.
Say goodbye, honey.
Goodbye, honey.
Music and mythology, Einstein and astrology, it all started with a big